So this past Thursday, I was driving someone home from after having a treatment. And as I was driving, I noticed suddenly the skies were changing dramatically. And I noticed from a distance a black sky and some flashes of lightning. And the wind was gusting and kicking up. It was kind of giving us a warning. Hey, a storm's coming. We could better start preparing for a storm. But as I was continually driving, it got blacker and blacker and blacker. And suddenly it got so black that I thought it was almost night. There was no stars in the sky, and there was no moon to see, but it was like a black, eerie sky. And a torrential downpour just whoosh came rushing down. I could barely see in front of me coming back to the store that I needed to get back to. Now, this was around 6 o'clock. So you know, at 6 o'clock, the sun's not down. So you knew it was dramatically an effect on the skies. And I thought about that storm as I was passing through it. And I talked to one of my clients who was at the store, and she said, "Did you know it hailed?" I said, "Well, I was fortunate I missed the hail." But she said it was anywhere from pea size to, she said, golf ball size hail. So it was quite a dramatic experience for anybody who went through it, who went through the storm. Now, if you were in the house safe and comfortable, you may not even thought about the storm. It just passed through and it went on to its current location. But driving through it, I thought about that storm and thought about, you know, there's a storm on the horizon that we're all going to be facing in the near future. And it's going to be some very difficult times ahead. And just like that storm that I went through on Thursday night, it's going to be a wide variety of issues that we're going to be dealing with in the future. That storm had flashes of lightning. That storm had torrential downpours, heavy winds gusting. And in one sense, the winds kind of prepare us and tell us it's coming and kind of give us a warning. Well, God also tells us that we have to prepare for the future and that we can't let the storms that will be coming catch us off guard. And so it's very important that we think about the future, what it holds. And I find that we're suddenly finding ourselves in a degenerating culture. As sad as that may sound, our nation is becoming a degenerating culture. And I want to talk about that today. About our nation, it's not seeing the storm that's coming. It's not preparing for the storm that's coming. And it's going to catch them off guard. But we're told that we're supposed to prepare and to prepare for the storm that's coming. And so that's why it's vitally important that as we see these events, these cultural of degeneration that's occurring gradually and gradually and gradually, just like the darkness that came with the cloud formation, it gradually came and suddenly it was dark. It was very, very dark. It's going to happen to our nation as well. These gradual changes are going to suddenly come upon our nation, and it's going to catch a lot of people off guard. So I want to talk about that. Culture. What does the word mean to you? We hear the word a lot in our society, the culture, but what does it actually mean? I'm going to give you some definitions by the dictionary. One dictionary defines culture as the particular system of art, thought, and custom of society. Okay, that says a lot right there. Art, thought, and customs of society. But Robert Dugin, he gives a broader definition. I like his definition a little better. It says, he defines culture as the ways of thinking, living, and behaving that defines a people and a nation. Its achievements, a nation collective's mind in a sense of what is right and what is wrong. The way it perceives reality and it defines itself, the culture of its moral and habits, as just like a mother who strives to install her children with good values. So I liked his definition a little better. I think it gave us a more personal feeling of what culture should be like. Culture is the moral and habits of a mother striving to install into her children. I think that's very effective. It's the obligation that we acknowledge towards our neighbors, which we don't always think about, But culture is the way we address our neighbors, our community, and our government. So culture has a lot to say about our society. It's the standards that we set for not only ourselves, but for our community and our nation. The Bible talks about disturbing prophecies in the future. And let's look at one of those over in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. And here, Paul, the Apostle Paul, is inspired to write about perilous times, the times that are we living in. And I want you to listen to this as we read it, and then think about, are we living in perilous times? I'm in Corinthians, so I got to keep moving. Sorry, I got the wrong book here. Didn't go back far enough. Timothy. I want 2 Timothy. In chapter 1. I'm sorry, chapter 3 I said. 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." So, that's the wind that's blowing, okay? And preparing us and telling us that perilous times are coming. We see the wind that's blowing. "For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affections, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good." Now, that's interesting there, because I want to talk about that a little bit later. "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Now, notice it says, "having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away." Now, as we go down and look at these characteristics of the times that will be classified as the last days, perilous times, do you see any of these in our culture, in our society that we currently have? Lovers of their own self. I think that stands out right away. Our society is all based on a me society. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. Covetous. Boasters. And there are many individuals who boast. I'm a big football fan. And I enjoy football and sports. But you get these players that are out on the field and boasting and pounding on their chest, and they're just doing their job. That's all they should be doing. But no, they gotta boast. They gotta show themselves to be proud, and they're the best player out there. And it's a shame, because it takes away from the sport, a beautiful sport that has a lot of entertainment. But these individuals, they boast. They boast of their proud accomplishments. Blasphemers. We can definitely see that in our society. Blasphemers, individuals who blast those. Disobedient to parents. What a generation that's coming up. We're proud to have young individuals who show proper respect in our congregation. But that's not everyone. That's not all the younger generation that's coming. There's many in the younger generation that are unthankful and disobedient to parents. And that's part of our society that's currently. I mentioned about unthankful. You owe it to me. Give it to me. No thank you or please terminology that I have heard from individuals, unfortunately. So unthankfulness is also a characteristic of our society. Unholy. Well, we can look throughout our generations, and it's been a generational issue. It just didn't start instantly now. It's like the storm that's gradually coming. It's been building from generation to generation. I saw it in my generation. I grew up in the 60s, a time of free love. Anybody could do whatever they wanted to. There was no commitments, no generational commitment of marriage and relationships. You know, the love generation, some of it called the hippie generation. That was my society that I grew up in, and the times that I grew up. You're growing up in a different generation, and yet the times are still the same. You still see these characteristics of perilous times. And people have even emphasized, well, there's always been perilous times. And that's true. There have always been perilous times. And the Bible refers to the times when the disciples were in their generation. And they had to deal with perilous times. But does that mean we're not living in the perilous times? Are we not living in the last days? I think we're more closer to the last days than that generation was. And as each passing generation passes, we get closer and closer and closer to the last days and perilous times. And that's why it's so important that we watch the storm clouds that are developing, the wind that's blowing, and all these different characteristics of these individuals are showing here in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll continue. Without natural affection, truce breakers, and even our president has been a truce breaker, which is sad to say. False accusers, and there's been many, many false accusers. And we can go right down the list. And here's one, despisers of those that are good. If you try to live the right way of life, you're going to be despised by society. And I want to kind of prepare you for that, especially our younger generation. It's hard to think that people don't like us. But there will come a time when people will not like us. We all want to be liked. We all want to be accepted in society. And that's why sometimes young people struggle with that. When people look at them and say, oh, you're just a goody-goody two-shoe. You're no good. And they make comments like Jew boy and all kinds of characteristics faced at us. Persecution comes in a wide variety of forms. Verbally, emotionally, mentally, and physically. There have been people that have been killed because of their religion. Sad. But that's society. And that's what the society, it says it's going to get worse and worse and worse. Worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. And we read what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah. It was destroyed. And yet our nation is going to get worse and worse and worse. It's interesting. Paul continued to address these situations. And he also, over in Corinthians, and you can turn there. Let's look at Corinthians. Actually, I'm going to skip that because of time. I just realized this is a short day for everyone. We have to be out by 1:30, so I'm going to skip Corinthians, but you can refer to Corinthians where it says about the individuals who were living together. Stepmother, the man and his stepmother was living together. The sins, and Paul had to deal with that. So generational sins is not just in our time. Perilous times, it's been throughout the Bible. And we can see the horrendous sins in the Bible. They're there for our learning. That's the wind that we have to be watching for. The times that we're living in. The events that will be taking place. And if we're not on guard and noticing what's going on around our society, we'll get caught up in it. It's so easy to do. Well, I want to refer to that. It's called values neutral. Now, I've never heard of that term before, but some people apparently have. It's called values neutral. A major change has recently descended upon the Western culture. So our culture has now become what sociologists have said, values neutral. Now, what does that mean? Well, here's a definition. Advocates of this approach argue that we should not adopt any system defining what is right and what is wrong. Okay? We don't have the right and expect anyone to adhere to it because no one has the right to impose his values upon anyone. Now think about that for a minute. This neutral values, or they call it values neutral, is an emphasis that we can do whatever we want. We don't have to worry about what is right and what is wrong. Okay? And nobody has the right to tell me, in this terminology, what is right and what is wrong, and try to force your values upon me. Now that's what this is saying. This is what's happening. Is this another indication of perilous times or the last days? We have to think about that. Is that some more wind blowing our way, coming and making us realize, hey, the storm is gradually coming, and it's coming quickly. when they devalue what is right and what is wrong. I think we have to consider that. This is interesting, too. A former U.S. senator from Indiana, Daniel Coates, reported, "I recently saw a story of a high school values clarification class." Okay, this is called high school values clarification class. Okay, I never even heard of anything like that. Apparently, in schools now, does anybody have a class called values classification? No? Okay, well, they did this in New Jersey. I find this very interesting. Values classification class conducted by a teacher in New Jersey. And that's not far from us. That's just a state over, if you want to think about it. Over in New Jersey. A girl in the class found a purse containing $1,000. Wow, $1,000. And she returned it to its owner. So she did the right thing. She knew who the owner was, and she returned it to the owner. But listen to this. The teacher asked the class for its reaction to the girl's response of giving it back to the proper owner. Every single one of her fellow students conducted that the girl was foolish. She was stupid, is what they concluded. And they went and said, most of the students contended that someone who is careless should be punished. Finders keepers, losers weepers. That's what is being taught in the values of our students in class. So you would think, okay, the teacher is hearing this now. Now how is the teacher responding? Well, listen to what the teacher responds. When the teacher was asked what he had thought about the student's response, he said, "Well, of course I didn't say anything. If I come from the position of what is right and what is wrong, then I'm not their counselor." Okay, he's not going to guide them and direct them and lead them and show them what is right and what is wrong. No, it's not his responsibility. He says, "I can't impose my views upon my students." Now, you wonder when this was. 1991. We've gone 10, 11 years more past these times. And what are we accomplishing? Are we going in the right direction? Are we teaching our children the values? But certainly, they're not teaching them in this school because the teacher apparently felt that he doesn't have the right to teach what is right and what is wrong. It's not his responsibility. But if I figure the authority won't take the responsibility, and parents won't take responsibility, who's going to take the responsibility of teaching what right and wrong? That's a major question that we have to address. As perilous times continue, and as the storm clouds continue to come closer and closer, who's going to take the responsibility of showing our nation and our families and our friends right from wrong? Are we just going to allow society to dictate what is right and what is wrong? Are we tragically allowing this society to determine what is right and what is wrong? Or are we going to take the responsibility, as the Bible tells us to do, to take the responsibility seriously? It's not something that we can just cast aside very gently and say, "Oh, well, the Bible says this or the Bible says that." What does the Bible say? That's what we have to prove to ourselves. We have to prove it to our children and our children's children, our younger generation, so they know what is right and they know what is wrong. If we don't teach our children these values, they'll get caught up in society. And that storm cloud, when it comes, and that torrential downpour, and that nation that collapses because of degeneration of culture, they'll catch up our youth and they'll catch up our generation if we're not on guard. And that's why we got to be watching the storm clouds that are coming. And they're coming very quickly. Now, I ask the question, are we living in the last days? I think we're in that generation. Are we living in perilous times? I think we can see the writing on the wall. The wind is coming. The wind is blowing. Now, let's continue. How are we to establish ethical and moral cultural values in our families and in society? Think about that. How are we to do that? Well, reading the Bible is where we get our true values. And we need to get more and more into the Bible as time gets difficult and difficult. I want to refer to a quote from, this is Georgie Ann Geyer. And this is what he has to say. It says, I have come to the conclusion that it is impossible to have a moral community. She's come to the conclusion that it's impossible to have a moral community or nation. And here's the key. Without faith in God. Because without it, everything rapidly comes down to a me society. And that is what we have, a me society. What is it in it for me? What do I have to do? And what can society do for me? And that is what we're slowly finding ourselves, a me society. Me alone is meaningless. It doesn't show the proper guidance and direction from right and wrong. Today America has stopped acting in what was right. We knew what was right. Our generation grew up in the former generation, and they taught it from generation to generation. But there's been a drastically reduced degenerating culture, as I call it, terminology, degenerating culture that has progressively changed, flipped, if you want to even term it, from the values no longer mean anything. Now I want to quote some statistics. I think you'll find this, I find it very interesting. Hopefully you will too. Dramatic effects on Western culture shifts are best illustrated by contrasting social trends. And I mentioned about flipping. Trends are flipping, or social trends are changing. Consider some changes over the last 60 years. Now this is the last 60 years. This is my generation, if I want to term it that. The younger generation, yours is coming, and you're currently living it. But within my last, I'm going to be 60, so I can say this is my generation. 60 years, some of these changes have taken place. In New York City in 1943, this was 1943, now that's a little bit before me, 3% of all births were illegitimate. 3%. There was 44 homicides by gunshot. Now we're going to jump ahead. 1992, 1,499 people were shot to death. 45% of births in 1993 were illegitimate. Now again, we're only talking 92, 93. That seems like a long time ago, doesn't it? We're at 2012 is where we're at right now. And this is statistics that took place back then. And that is mild statistics when you think about it, compared to the population that was at that time, compared to what generation is going. Nationwide, nearly 30% of all babies today come home fatherless. 68% in Washington, D.C. alone, our national capital. Isn't these statistics amazing? I mean, I know they can be used both positive and negative, but it makes us realize the storm clouds are drawing closer. They're getting closer and closer, brethren. We can't just look at them from a distance and say, oh, that's years away from now. That's not going to affect us tomorrow. That's not going to affect us next week. That's not going to affect us next year. The storm clouds are there. They're for our witness to show us that we have to be on guard, brethren. These statistics are happening. Violent crimes increased from 1997 to comparison from 1960 to 1997. I'll just reverse that. From 1960 to 1997, violent crimes increased 467%. 467% violent crimes. Illegitimate births are up 461%. You see where our nation is going? You see the dark clouds coming? They're not going away. It's not getting better times. That's in the future, better times. But our times ahead are getting worse. Divorce rose by 100%. Now, I thought about that, 100%. How is that possible? Well, the existing marriages are increasing in divorce. But there's a generation that's coming that's not marrying. They're living together. So it's not really categorized as a marriage. It's a union. And these are classifications. And so even though divorce is rising among existing marriages, separations, okay, unions, couples that are married, and it's not just husband and wife anymore. We got a different generation now. Men with men, women with women. And I can just leave it at that. You can imagine other things that I won't even get into that are classified as unions or breaking up. Children living in single-parent homes increased by more than 200%. So divorce is causing havoc upon our children. Children that are growing up with a single parent by as much as 200%. Teenager suicide. Now, I can understand this one because my daughter, when she was in school, experienced this situation. Teenage suicides were up more than 100%. When she was in school, there was at least two suicides, if I recall, that took teenage suicides. And it was sad because the one student committed suicide because he thought he wasn't going to graduate. The teacher was picking on him. And then when the teacher realized that he committed suicide, he felt remorse and he said, he was going to graduate. I was going to graduate him. But he was teasing the student and the student just couldn't handle the tease and he committed suicide. Sad. Again, these are some of the signs of the storms that's on the horizon. And again, it's not that far away, brethren. We may think it's a distant away, that we have years and years and years to continue to have these wonderful times we're living in. But when the Bible says perilous times, it's something that we have to take serious. It's not just something we can think, well, that's the next generation that's going to be dealing with perilous times. So we don't have to prepare for perilous times. We can just live the life we're living and having a great time and enjoying what we have. But brethren, the Bible warns us that we have to prepare for perilous times. And so when we see statistics like this, 467% increase in violent crimes. When we read the paper, some of those statistics are in the paper. Every day when we read paper, we see these statistics, and it's increasing. Illegitimate births. I haven't even gotten into abortion. Our nation leads the world in abortion, which is a hideous crime. And we're going to pay the price. God is up in heaven. He sees these sins of our nation. And these terrible, terrible acts that we're committing among our youth. Abortion. And now they want to even claim the classification of an abortion can change. It's not a child until it's, someone told me, several years old. So you give birth to a child, but it's not a child. Now how do you explain that one? I mean, this blows me away. You give birth to a child, but it's not a child. What is it? It's not a living, breathing human, but it's not a child until it's certain years old. And they can commit death, technically, if they want to. Well, I don't want this child. We'll get rid of it. Even after it's born. You know, abortion is bad enough in the womb of our society. And that's sad in itself. But to think that you can take a child that may be a 6 months old, a year now, I don't want this child, and just cast it aside like trash. That's what our society is doing. These are some of the guidelines that are the declining and degenerating culture that's taking place in our world. And brother, I don't want you to think that it's all negative. We have a future ahead of us that's going to be where right is right and wrong is wrong. And it will be taught again. It will be shown the proper values that this nation needs to know. But that time is in the future. And we have to go through perilous times first before we get to that future. And so we have to be on guard. We have to be instructing our children, our grandchildren, and the next generation that will exist right from wrong. We have to show and teach them right from wrong. Very, very important. But I just find it very heartbreaking in many ways to see that our nation, this was a wonderful nation at one time. It was founded on principles that was found in the Bible. Our forefathers, who established the Constitution, was founded on biblical principles and guidelines to lead our nation to stay close to God and show us the way of what is right and what is wrong. But our Constitution is being torn to pieces. The values of what that is mocked. Scoffers are making mockery of our Constitution. They're saying, Constitution? What's that? We don't even believe in it. And that's what even senators and representatives in our nation, who are our leaders, are saying. The Constitution doesn't mean anything. That's old information. We're making new rules, new laws, that's going to be more effective, more helpful, and force individuals to do things. I mentioned probably a couple months ago now, maybe, they did pass a law, a terrorist act law, that they can declare any one of you a terrorist and ship you abroad, just cast you aside and send you out of our nation and classify you. Do you see where that's coming? Religious persecution that the Bible talks about? It opens the door for that. These are laws that are being pushed through our nation. And you see what's happening? The degenerating of culture, the devalue of our Constitution, the American way of life that was founded on the Bible, is continually being torn down. The values are turned upside down. And in just a generation time, I find that very interesting. In one generation time, all these values are being changed. It's heartbreaking, brethren, to know that our nation, which was founded on principles of godly principle, just like in the examples in the Bible, is being eroded away, a degenerating culture. And where does that lead? It leads to captivity, the prophecies of captivity. Can it turn it around? Yes. God says our nation can turn itself around if it repents and change and comes back to God. Will it? Time will reveal itself. The prophecies kind of reveal that it doesn't appear that it will, but prophecies can be fulfilled or prophecies cannot be fulfilled. Again, it depends on the nation. The nation chooses to make the choice. Will they repent and change and come back to God? But will they continue? The downward spiral. The storm will come. The rain will wash out the values that we've been taught. And the lightnings will flash. And there'll be difficult times ahead. And we will see perilous times ahead. Will we see that? Will our nation be willing to do that? Well, only time will tell. I mentioned about you can look at Corinthians. Paul had to correct individuals in the Corinthian church. And there's lots of examples in Corinthians. Church, Corinth, of sins that they allowed in their congregation and they allowed to happen. Oh, we have to be on guard, brethren. So what can we do? That's the question we answer. What can we do about this? We know it's coming. We see the wind blowing. We see the activities of society degrading and the culture breaking down. We see our Constitution being scoffed and mocked and laughed at and say it doesn't mean anything anymore. We're making new laws that are more beneficial for us. Okay, they're changing. The classification of a child can be no longer classified as a child. That one still blows me away, and I will never accept that. That when a child is born, it's a child. I believe, and I believe this wholeheartedly, a child's life begins at conception. Now, people will argue about that left and right, and there's been all kinds of classifications of abortion, and our nation will suffer the consequences because of that. But to say that a child that is born is not a child, where are we going, brethren? Where is our nation going when it can declare a child is not a child, and you can get rid of that child through whatever means, terrorist acts? They can classify you or any of brethren here as terrorists, and they can ship you off across the sea into slavery. You know, we thought slavery was a couple generations back, but slavery's always been with us. We've always had slavery. Individuals are slave to debt, financial debt. As a nation, we are slave to debt. Our nation is, I haven't even heard the last numbers where we are debt-wise. I guess if you hear it, it would scare you to know that we're never getting out of debt, brethren. Our nation will never get out of debt. We're so far in debt, and that's what's going to bring our nation down. And so we have to watch these trends and these signs of the times that we're living in. So what can we do? Well, brethren, I want to encourage each and every one of us to recognize the influence of popular culture in your life? Is society rubbing off on you? That's the question. Think about it. I say, well, no, it's not rubbing off on me. I'm still keeping values. I'm still thinking. But do we compromise? Do we give in a little bit here and a little bit there, a little bit at a time, that suddenly we accept society's values, and that the generating culture that's currently and continuing is starting to erode our values away? I want you to think about that. We have to be on guard, brethren. We have to keep the values that we've been taught. The Bible encourages us to endure to the end. It's not going to be an easy road, and I don't want to paint this wonderful trip into the kingdom. It's coming, brethren. The kingdom is coming, and it is going to be a joyous time when it does come. But we got to go through perilous times, and we got to prepare for that. We can't just let the perilous times come and then say, okay, now what do I do? That's too late. It's too late, brethren. We got to prepare in advance. We got to examine ourselves. That we do every time in the spring. And I hope it's not just during the days of unleavened bread that we, in the Passover time, that we examine ourselves, and that's it. The rest of the time, we're free to do whatever we want. We should examine ourselves throughout the week, throughout the years, because it's very, very important, because perilous times are coming. What manner of person would you have been if you lived somewhere else? Say you didn't live in the United States. Say you lived in Africa. What kind of person would you have been? Think about that. It's an interesting thought. Someone asked me that one time. Said, well, you know, your life would have been entirely different if you would have lived in Africa. If you would have been raised as an African with all day-to-day struggles, you know, your life wouldn't have been as pleasant as it is. And that's a true thought. That's an interesting thought. If we haven't been blessed, you're walking blindly. Our nation has been blessed tremendously with wonderful resources that God gave our nation because of obedience to His laws and His ways of life. But as we slowly turn our degenerating culture away, we're losing our blessings. And again, brethren, we can find ourselves slowly accepting these degenerating values, or values neutral, as it's been classified. As you watch the degeneration of culture around you, and you see it in schools, they're not allowed to even discuss God in school. So our children go to school for education. And they're said, okay, you're going to learn about evolution, they're going to learn about this, they're going to be learning about that. But God, no, we can't teach God in school. We can't teach right and wrong values. We can only teach evolution, which is a false theory that's been imposed upon our nation and upon our youth, and forced to accept. When I was in school, now this is back in the 70s, I graduated in the 70s, so I'll go back to the 60s. Evolution was presented. But the students stood up and said, no, we don't accept this. And they rejected it then. And it was taken out of the classes. We weren't forced to accept evolution. But as years progressed, it became a main theme. And so psychology and sociology, which was interesting, I had to take that class to graduate from high school. I'm thinking, this is a bunch of garbage. Total garbage. I know how people use psychology on individuals, reverse psychology and sociology factors. And as we study what the evolutionary theories on what man evolved from apes and other green slime and a variety of other issues, if we look at the Bible and we fully understand the value, we will prove there is a God. We will know right from wrong, and we will know that God created man. Man didn't create himself or out of a glob of green goo that evolved in a pond or wherever. And then evolutionary theories say we're continued to evolving. Eventually we're going to have no arms, no legs. We'll just have a brain. These are some of the concepts and ideas that's being taught in psychology and sociology classes and in schools. Now, I don't know how they are locally here. Are they forcing evolutionary theories in classes? They are? Okay. With apes as our ancestry? Yeah. Okay. Again, devaluation of culture. They take God out of the picture. God doesn't exist. They say God doesn't exist. They don't want to even talk about God. They scoff at God and ridicule those who want to do what is right and what is wrong. And again, this is a degeneration of culture. And brethren, we have to stand up. We have to stand up for values. We have to do what is right. And when we do, okay, I want to prepare our youth. When you do, when you stand up for what is right, you're going to please God. Okay? You're not going to be pleasing man. Man's going to be scoffing, oh, you goody-goody two-shoe. You think you're better than us. And they'll ridicule you. They'll mock you. And they'll laugh at you. But you have the full understanding of what is true values. And hold on to that. That is what we need to do. We need to hold on to that. You'll be blessed. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a hard road because, like I say, nobody wants to be rejected. I grew up. I know what you're going through. I was called Jew boy when I was a young fella. Jew boy because I kept the Sabbath. And I said, well, I'm a spiritual Jew. And I tried to, you know, calm it down a little bit. But they made fun of me because I didn't keep Christmas. Oh, you think you can't keep Christmas? What, you think you're better than us? And other terms. And they'll mock you. They'll criticize you. They'll condemn you and laugh at you and scoff. But brethren and youth, you're doing the right thing. And you'll be blessed tremendously for that. And that's why you've got to look at the values. Is this society rubbing off on you? If you see little glimpses of things rubbing off, that's what we have to examine. We have to watch for those things and get them slowly out of our lives. It's going to take time, and I don't want you to think that it's going to be easy, because it won't be. But hang in there, endure, and do the right thing, and you'll be blessed tremendously for it. And all of us will be blessed tremendously. Another area, we must develop moral ethics and conviction. Okay? There are many individuals that say, I believe in God, but then they live a different lifestyle than what the Bible teaches. We have to live what we know is right. We have to be convicted to our beliefs and hold on to these moral values. The great big question that comes up, what do you allow yourself to do? What do you allow yourself to do? Are you willing to compromise to please your friends, your family members, your acquaintances? Are you willing to say, no, this is what I believe. This is why I do what I do. And when you do that, if you're willing to do that, you're going to be different, brethren. We're all going to be different. But you know, we're all going to be standing side by side, together, encouraging one another, helping one another, motivating one another to endure these perilous times that are coming, the difficult years ahead, the storm clouds that are coming and are not that far away from us. And so we do have to hold on to our moral vows and show our conviction and show God. He's the one that we have to answer to, not man. Man will, I mentioned, will laugh at us, they'll scoff at us, they'll criticize us, condemn us. We don't want to please man. We want to please God. And that's very, very important that we show God and tell God we want to do what is right. And we need to be guided by His Spirit to show us the way to live. And we must hold on to those values. And so it's very important not to worry about what others think. Well, brethren, I could refer to a lot of scriptures, but because of time, I just wanted to emphasize where we are, what our nation is ascending or descending, if you want to term it as right, descending to. It is lowering its values. It's determining what is best for you, not according to God's word, which is what we should be emphasizing. What is best for us is through God's word, but rather what the nation thinks is best for you. They're going to pass laws in the future that's going to affect each and every one of us personally. And that's something that we're going to have to prepare for. Brethren, the storm clouds are not that far away. When we look out on the horizon, the wind is gusting. Our nation is declining culturally wise. We see abortion, we see drugs, violence, crimes, hideous things that are taking place. And God's watching all this from up in heaven. And He knows when the right time will be for the kingdom to be established. But he warns us ahead of time there will be perilous times coming, as we're told in 2 Timothy 3. And we must prepare for those perilous times. When we see the storm clouds coming closer and closer, and the difficult times ahead will get worse and worse, man will be so bad, it'll be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah, then we know that we are living in perilous times in the last days. And we can rejoice because we know the kingdom of God is coming. That is our hope. That is what we're all striving for, we're all looking forward to, and that is what's going to reestablish the values that God intends each and every one of us to hold on to. Our nation will eventually come to understand, once again, these values, but it's going to take perilous times in the last days. And unless God intervenes, mankind will destroy himself. He will not exist. But because of the plan of God, the kingdom of God will be established. Mankind will be saved from his terrible degenerating values. And the values of God and the values that we all hold dear to ourselves will be reestablished. What a wonderful time. What a wonderful future we have to look forward to. Yes, brethren, we got to go through the storm. The lightning's flashing. The rains are going to come. And the dark clouds are going to get so dark it's going to be black, just like it was this past Thursday. And we're going to wonder, how can we make it? Well, brethren, if you hold on to your values, you endure to the end, and you trust in God to lead you with his Holy Spirit, we will get through the perilous times that are coming. And we will encourage one another, we will help one another, and we will show God that we do love him, and we look forward to his kingdom.